Welcome to the Startup Lunchbreak Podcast. I'm your host, Pearl, and in each episode, we are going to unpack key insights, expert advice, and success stories to power up your startup journey. Let's make your entrepreneurial dreams a reality.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our conversation today. My name is Pearl Omotoyinbo from Startup Lunch Code, and I'll be kind of moderating the session today. And we're going to have a really good discussion. Today, we're talking about scaling your startup, how to grow your business without burning out. So I know it's going to be a great conversation. We have some amazing speakers lined up, and I know it's going to be a good conversation. So definitely sit back, share it on your Twitter feed that you're here. And as the session progresses, if you get any of those aha moments or you hear something like, oh my gosh, that's so good, definitely tweet it out and give some love to the speakers. All right, so I'm going to start off with a brief intro of all the speakers. So I'll just do like a little intro with read a bit of their bio, but then I'll hand over to each of them to kind of introduce themselves, introduce their companies, what they do, and then we'll get into the conversation for today. All right, so like I said, today we're going to be talking about scaling your startup, how to grow your business without burning out. And we've got four amazing speakers. So first up, we have Michael Adatang. Michael is the CEO of Kaplo. Kaplo is a company whose mission is to empower innovation and fuel growth in the tech industry by bridging the gap between job seekers and employers. So great to have you on here, Michael. Next up, we have Chibueke Good News. Chibueke is the founder of Doches Ads or Adex. I don't know how you guys say that, but I'm sure you correct me when you come up. A multi-platform, Doches is a multi-platform internet advertising technology and messaging company that helps businesses attract new customers, deliver messages, boost online sales, and build brand awareness. So grateful to have you on here, Chibueke, as well. Next up, we have Emmanuel Isiaka. Emmanuel is the co-founder of Help AI. Help AI is a platform that uses AI to help founders find co-founders and helps professionals connect. So great to have you on here, Emmanuel. And last but not the least, we have Adefolajuwon. I hope I said that right. Adefolajuwon Ijaya. Adefolajuwon is a venture member at A&A Collective. He's also a business intelligence expert and data visualization pro with a wealth of experience in turning raw data into actionable insights. And he's highly skilled and experienced. He's a highly skilled and experienced professional with a passion for helping businesses grow and succeed. And he's able to leverage all his experience in business intelligence, data visualization, financial modeling, and product management to help his clients achieve their goals. So great to have you on here as well. So thank you very much to everyone. So we're going to dive right in. But like I said, we'll have the speakers introduce themselves, tell us a bit more about what they do in about 2 to 3 minutes each, and then we'll get into the conversation for the day.
Thank you very much for this time. And I also want to thank the people that have joined for this. My name is Chibueke Good News. And I'm the founder of Doches. Doches is a unified advertising platform that helps businesses to identify their target audience, connect with them on platforms where they are, and then connect them with advertising, connect with them with messaging, and also to measure the impact or the result of their campaigns. Doches has been around for over 7 years, and within those 7 years, we have grown from a two-man business to over 30-man business with presence in Nigeria, in Kenya, in Singapore, and in Europe. And we've helped businesses from small businesses to mid-income businesses and also large businesses, especially with their digital advertising. And for us, advertising or service is a partnership between us and the businesses we work with. Because we know that as a businessman, or for every business, the rest of your life, you're going to be advertising. The rest of your life, you're going to be looking for customers. As long as that business exists, you will keep being in the face of customers. So marketing, or advertising as it is, can be in different phases. For early stage businesses, advertising is more of creating awareness and letting people know that you are around. At a point, your advertising is making people to buy your products. For another stage in your business, advertising is making people to know that you have a new product. Another time, your advertising could be letting people know that, hey, Adeo, as in, or letting people know that I am the better choice when you have competition. And that's how we have evolved over the years. From a technology point of view, we build the platforms, we connect with all the touch points where advertising can happen. We connect with Facebook, we connect with Google, we connect with LinkedIn, we connect all those things, then bring them together, and then helping you help businesses to identify who are these customers, what is the size of your market. So on Dutchess today, if you put your product and you put the description of that product, you can get the size of the market, and then the number of people that you can reach on that, how many they are per platform. And then you can go ahead to advertise there. A little about myself. Before founding Dutchess, I used to be a banker. I also have a background in software engineering. I have a master's degree in business administration. Talking about myself, I also have a BSc in business administration. I have a Java programming background. And then I'm an alumni of the Lagos Business School. When I'm asked to talk about myself, I kind of want to choose the words to use, but I'm a well-read person. I love learning new things, love creating new things as well. And I'm very number-driven and I'm very critical. But aside that, I also love sports. So whatever you do in business, I always want to keep body and soul together with sports. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Ibeke. All right, let's try Mike Emmanuel now.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here. You know, entrepreneurship is difficult. Building a business is one of the hardest things to do. So sometimes I just look at founders and entrepreneurs out there and I just put my hands and say, kudos and great work. So knowing this, that building a business is this difficult, it's even more difficult as a non-technical co-founder, someone who doesn't code. So I started my journey looking for technical co-founders, as from my network, then to LinkedIn, to different online dating, founders dating platform, but all to no avail. And this took 5 months, going from one friend to another to pitch my idea. And it took 5 months before I finally found my friend and my co-founder from Doja Adversity. So we started LPI together just with the focus to solve that issue, making it a pain of salt to connect founders to co-founders and at large for you to find talent easily. And that was where the vision emerged from. So myself, I've been building companies since 2021. I have a few startups now, I'm doing it. I'm putting up everything I've learned in my previous company and everything since working. And you know, one thing about building a company is today things work, tomorrow things break. So my role is simple, which I told my team, guys, let's move very fast, break things, then fix what is broken. So that was how LPI came to be. So myself, I'm a growth marketer. I've worked as a growth marketing manager for top companies, both US and home down here in Nigeria. We added $65 million to their revenue and grew to around 100,000 users respectively. So I decided, oh, let me join hands together with someone who can code and let's build a startup that solves real problem for Africa by Africa. So that's a brief about me, myself, and it's awesome and amazing being in this conversation today. And my goal is that everyone here should learn from one another. I think we have amazing speakers currently, and I'm looking forward to learn from you all, and also to our awesome Georgie Spell. Thank you so much. And to Startup Launch Code, it's an honor being here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Emmanuel. All right. So we'll take Michael and then Fola, one after the other. And if we can just do our introductions in about 60 to 90 seconds, that would be great. No pressure. All right, Michael, you can go ahead.
Oh, great. So it's a pleasure being here. Thank you, Startup Launch Code, for this opportunity. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. So my name is Michael. I'll try as much as possible to be brief. I am the co-founder and CEO of Kaplu Africa. So Kaplu Africa is actually focused on helping companies to be able to solve their people problem. We are talking about scaling startup today. You cannot scale startup without people, right? So we revolve around solving the problem of attracting and, of course, retaining top talents, right? From when you're trying to recruit them to when you are onboarding them, and, of course, to when you are paying them, managing performance and even exit. That is what we are focused on. So Africa has a growing population. And most of our youths are also incredibly talented and hardworking. So what we try to do is to harness that capability and match with very forward-thinking organizations so that we can be able to unlock the potential in Africa, right? So that's about Kaplu. About me, I hold a master's degree in political economy from the University of Ilorin, and I've also taken lots of courses on startups and, of course, business and management. Outside of work, I like traveling, and I've traveled to virtually every state in Nigeria and, of course, outside of the country. In this call, I look forward to sharing the little I know about business and what I'm still learning, because, of course, as a startup founder, you must be a continuous learner. And I also look forward to learn from other amazing speakers lined up in this call. And of course, connect, share ideas, collaborate, and grow from here. Thank you very much for being available on this call, everyone. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael. And then Fola.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I'm glad to be here and, you know, to join the conversation. I'll keep you brief so we could just start. I know Pearl is rushing us on time. Just a bit for the introduction. So Fola Jumon Ejaya. Just call me Fola. Simply, I'm a 2-time founder, been in venture capital for like 3+ years. Recently worked as a founder associate with Clasher. If you put my cognitive experience together, I could say I probably have like close to about 7 years of experience in the venture capital space and the tech ecosystem. But I decided I tend to advise startup founders and do consulting work for financial companies. So yeah, that's it. I'll just keep you brief. That's me, basically.
Thank you so much, Fola. Yeah, I want to give enough time for you guys to actually share on the topic of the day. So I'm sorry if it sounds like I'm rushing you, but thank you so much. So thank you to all our speakers. I see Chibuka is back down as a listener. We'll try to get you back up. But thank you so much for joining us. And I'm really looking forward to an amazing discussion. So we're talking about scaling your startup and how to grow your business without burning out. So I think the first question that I'm going to throw out there is just really shortly for the speakers, when we talk about scaling your, I'm sorry about that. When it talks about scaling, what does it mean? What does scaling mean in the context of a startup? more precisely, and why is it important for long-term success for a startup? So, Fola, I'll start with you, and then I'll go around.
All right. Pearl, can you just come again on the question so I can actually, like, I got you properly?
All right. So I said, what does scaling mean in the context of a startup? So we're talking about scaling your startup. So what exactly do we mean by scaling in the context of a startup? And why is it important for long-term success?
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. So scaling, I'm going to just make it simple. I see scaling as a symphony of growth, right? Where, you know, like if you're like in an orchestra and you're like listening to a symphony, you have the conductor, who is the entrepreneur, the founder, and the instruments where you hear the music, being your resources, the processes, and your strategy. That's the way I see scaling. It's like an art where you strategically expand your operational capacity as a business so you can meet a demand. The demand being what you want to actually like give to your customers, either a product or a service. You are doing this without sacrificing efficiency or quality. And I mean, just from the definition alone, you hear how scaling sounds. It sounds easy, but at the same time, it sounds hard because you're trying to do a service or you're trying to actually like build the product without sacrificing efficiency or quality. Scaling isn't just about getting big, because that's the general idea that we have about, okay, to scale means to just grow big, but that's not what it's about. It's about getting smart. It means your product is getting better. You're getting smarter as a founder. Your team is growing. The business itself is seen in a smart way. So you think of it as creating a perpetual motion machine for your business. So a very good example is, I mean, you could look at the efficiency of a generator. I mean, you put in a resource like your fuel, it generates power, it's efficient. So that's the way I see scale. The larger you grow, you're maintaining that same efficiency as you grow. So I'll just keep it that way. That's the way I see scaling.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Michael, do you want to talk about scaling your perspective and how important it is to a startup? And I think I'm actually going to add on a question there in terms of, let's go with that. And then we'll come back to the challenges of scaling. So Michael, yeah, importance of scaling. What is scaling? Why is it so important for a startup and for founders to be thinking about scaling right now?
Okay, so let me first of all agree with what Fola said, that scaling is about growth, right? So when we are talking about scaling, we are talking about expansion. We are talking about getting the business to serve a larger market. So startups, by their very nature, are high growth business, right? So for instance, you can be serving a market worth $40 billion. And if you do not scale, you may not be able to serve that market. And of course, the customers are also there. Remember, the essence of starting a company in the first place is to solve a problem. So scaling allows you to expand, allows you to grow, and of course, be able to meet the needs of several customers, as well as its impact, both on the economy and of course, on the society as a whole. Right, scaling could also be about increasing production. So take, for instance, you are able to serve 100 businesses in Nigeria. If you're able to serve 200, 300, that's scaling, right? It is also about expanding to new locations, right? So you see a startup start in Nigeria today, in 6 months, in 8 months, they're in about 8 African nations, that is scaling, just growing and expanding to solve problems. So that is basically what scaling is, just to add to what Fola said. Why scaling is important in today's environment is because scaling increases efficiency. How do I mean by efficiency? As you scale, your cost gets to reduce. You no longer spend as much as you did when you were just starting out, because now you are able to capture more market. And of course, that reduces the unit cost. And of course, scaling also enables you to gain competitive advantage in the market. So for instance, you start a company today, and the company can be worth $20 billion in the near future when you're able to scale.
but you refuse to scale. What happens? A competitor can come in and, of course, push you out of that market. So scaling allows you to be able to maintain your market and, of course, eventually become the market leader. But let me also talk about this, that scaling allows you to grow your revenue, right? I've talked about impact. I've talked about solving problems. But scaling allows you to grow your revenue, which would, of course, help you to be able to go further, to be able to attract other talents, attract partners, and, of course, solve more problems for the people or the market you are serving. So scaling is about growth, it's about expansion, and it's very critical for a startup survival and, of course, a long-term strategy. I'll just leave it there.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. So I'll go to Emmanuel now, but I want to throw a question out there. So we kind of, Michael and Fola have really talked about what scaling is, why it is important. Emmanuel, in your opinion and from your perspective, what do you think are the 1 to 3, if you had to pick 1 to 3 common challenges entrepreneurs face in Africa when trying to scale their startups, what would those be and how can they overcome them from your own experience? So I'll take your thoughts on that and then we'll circle back to the other speakers. So again, let me just repeat the question. So what are some of the 1 to 3 common challenges startups face with scaling in Africa? And what are some things they can do to overcome them?
Awesome. So when you're talking about scaling, which is expansion, one thing which you should look at while scaling your startup is, first, you have the challenges of analyzing the market, basically. So you want to know if there is a market there for your startup. How large is the market? Will the market be beneficial to your business? Now, those are the things you want to find out. And the second is getting the required expertise. You know, one difficult thing about scaling into international markets is that most times it's very difficult for you to find the right expertise. Let me give an example. When Uber was resident in Nigeria and then Bolt wanted to make an entrance, now they had the right expertise to become their country manager who has ride-hailing experiences and has grown and scaled big brand. And that allowed them to penetrate the market and not just penetrate, compete. Why find the market opportunity? Because at that time, Uber was focused on airports, people going from airports to motels, to hotels and all. But when Bolt came in, it was available for everyone. And then they took the market by storm. So when you look at scaling, the first thing which I said is you're looking at market analysis, conducting a very detailed market analysis. The second is hiring the right expertise for your business. And then the third, when you look at scaling, you are looking at providing adequate financing to ensure that expansion. So a startup that must scale is one that has first attained PMF. You find reputable major, you understand your markets, you're making revenue even as a market. And not just revenue, you have broken even as a startup. And then you are looking at capturing other markets as fast as possible. And this means you should have the required financing to finance that expansion and to ensure you scale properly. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Emmanuel. Chibuke, do you want to add to that in terms of, in your perspective, 1 to 3 challenges that startups face when it comes to scaling and what they can do about it?
Okay. First of all, the previous speakers have talked about what scaling is. From experience, I would say scaling is multiplying efficiency. What I mean by that is, if you have done something well at a minute level and you have gotten it right, then you multiply the number of times you're doing it. So let's say your product is servicing customer, and you know that you, with your minute team as a founder, you're able to make 10 customers happy. Now you take that as a formula. What formula did you use to make 10 customers happy? Now, can you multiply it by 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000 without maintaining the same quality, maintaining the same results? Now, if you can do that, then it could be across geographies. It could be just numbers, but it is more of, I see it as multiplying your efficiency as a startup. Now, it is easier said than done. When you are multiplying your efficiency, you move from having you yourself as a founder to having delegatees or people do it. Take, for instance, when you are founding a business, you are very meticulous about who you bring in. You're very meticulous about who is going to work with you. So kind of you are directly involved in almost everything in the business. But when you start scaling, you are scaling on structure. You are scaling on model. So at that point, you are not the one doing most of those things. So that's where the challenge comes in. You will see businesses that at minute stage, they were excellent. But when they start scaling, things around people, things around process, things around speed, things around efficiency become a problem for them. You now start having what Nigerians call bad hire and good hire. Now, if you hire badly and you want to scale on that, you have a problem. One of the popular industries in Nigeria is fintech. And one thing that is in every fintech in Nigeria is fraud. Now imagine if you hire the wrong person and you scale, and that person is fraudulent. You see, the challenge is going to have, I'm not going to mention names, but there are these people that say that almost every fintech in Nigeria has had fraud. And many of them were perpetrated by people who know or people who are internal. Now, those are challenges that you that is a founder, didn't buy for yourself. You never bought. You never expected that those kind of things will happen. But you have hired people who have different intentions from what you have. You could say, I want to solve this problem of payment, or I want to solve this problem of unbanked. And you are driving that with your early team. Hey, everybody is agreeing. You now hire one beautiful guy, and the guy comes in. Man, these guys, they talk their own. My own, if I get an opportunity here, I hammer, I take off. That's your chat. It becomes a challenge for you. He comes, he passes all your interviews, passes all the things. And if care is not taken, you wouldn't even have seen that until he gets to hit you. That's a major, another challenge. Another challenge is culture. Now, startup founders at the early stage have an easy culture. Speed, excellence, doing things at the right time, because you probably have hired people you know or people you can vouch for. And then work ethics, you can vouch for their work ethics, you can vouch for whoever they are. But when you now start scaling, you now start bringing in people who have what I call their own demons. They just bring on their own demons into the organization. You now start seeing intrigues. So that same organization you saw that used to be we, or you can know everybody by their name, you now start seeing people that start skimming different things that will eventually distract even your staff from the actual thing they're doing. So you see that cultural shift that's coming. You now need to be strong and say, hey, this is our culture. Maintain that culture, or else you just deviate. Another challenge is finances. At a small stage, you may really have, some founders don't even have a CFO. So they know everything about the finances. When you start growing, you delegate even who signs for money to be moved. You delegate. You are not directly involved into a whole lot of things. So finances start coming in. How clean are your books? How ready are you for whatever happens, especially with finance? So all those changes start happening. It becomes a challenge that how do you maintain your finances? Yeah, you're growing. Your revenue has moved from 10 million to 100 million, from 100 million to a billion. But you discover that you start making loss. When you scale into a new market, you face different business environment, different culture. A previous speaker was talking about Uber. And Uber scaled into London. And the London taxis went on strike. And their demand was to kick out Uber. But you had your, when they were when they were not in London, they had all the market indices that said, this is the size of the market in London, this is the deal. All the things looked good, but you didn't know that there was that union thing. As soon as you scale, bam, just hit you. New market, you face those challenges. There are so many of them, but because of time, let me stop here so that we can have time for other things.
All right. Thank you so much, Ubike. But I think you raised some really, really good points. And I think you touched on one major point that actually leads me to the next question. So you touched on finance, you touched on hiring, right? And I want to just, the next question I have is really around hiring, because that does play a major role in scaling, my opinion. But what do you think, and let me throw this question to Fola, and then I'll circle back. I also want to hear Chibike's thoughts on that. But what do you think, so again, the question is, what role does hiring and building the right team play in scaling a startup without burning out? Because we are talking about burning out as well. So what role does hiring and building the right team play in scaling a startup without burning out? And what are some things that founders should look for that helps them actually hire right and build the right team? So how important does hiring the right team help you with that scaling and burn and managing burnout? But then how do you even hire the right team? So Fola, let me get your take on that, and then I'll circle back to Chibike.
Okay. Thank you, Pearl. Rightly said, talent acquisition is usually, in my own experience, a top 5 problem in terms of scale. And this might be controversial, but I remember like about 2 years back, in our portfolio companies in the VC firm that I work for, Deal Capital, one of the fintech founders, I told him, I think he probably should step down and let somebody else take over from where he is. I think this is something that most people tend to not actually want to accept in terms of hiring. When people tend to hire, they're thinking about saving costs as opposed to the person that might actually get the job done, right? So you hire someone now and you're doing that without actually thinking long term. Sometimes, and I'm relating this to why I brought in the story about the founder, is I think at different stages of a company, there should be a re-evaluation of talent that is actually on the team. Sometimes, just because somebody has held the position for 2 to 3 years does not mean you need to promote the person to being a manager. Probably you should get a manager from outside to actually take that role. It might seem like as if you're like making the company culture bad or whatever, but it's just the reality of things. Just because you've done really pretty good work doesn't necessarily mean that all the time you're meant to be promoted to handle a particular situation, a particular position, right? I know some people might tend to argue that give them a chance, but a chance will come if you have somebody to look ahead to who has actually done it and you can follow in their footsteps. Then when it's time, then you can move forward. And I'm giving this because I was a founder associate at Clash, and I can remember when we were trying to expand to like Kenya. We've had a very pretty solid, you know, sales team, right? And it was just kind of hard thinking about who it is that we're going to actually like push forward. And I just made the suggestion, like, rather than pushing anybody forward, let this particular sales team focus on solidifying the strengths that we have here in Nigeria. And let's just get someone totally different to actually, you know, who actually has the experience in actually expansion strategy, right? Just because you're very good at sales doesn't necessarily mean that you're good at entering into a new market. That's two different things. You might believe that you have like a perfect skill. So what I'm actually trying to attribute here is, in terms of talent acquisition, right, you are not just hiring to fill a role. You shouldn't always look at it that way. You should actually look at it in terms of exactly what you need at that particular time to scale. Like I said, talent acquisition is a top five problem to me, the way I see it. And in terms of like, because you mentioned something, Pearl, about the question you mentioned, does hiring and building the right team play in scaling a startup without burning out, right?
Yeah.
I think there's like a revelation to me, like obviously working with different founders and that things I've seen from them. Femi Irumini from Money Africa, Jessica Nina, Klasha, Olufemi Olanipekun from Vind. You know, everybody has their different strengths, but there are things I've seen that I've learned from them that I've seen that's actually helped them scale while they're trying to expand. The number one thing you should probably think about is alignment with the vision, right? Also, Ari from Trefford, and I'm going to use Ari as a very good example. You will get burnt out. There's nothing you can do about it. You will definitely get burnt out. But sometimes I think you need to just step back, right? Take a breather for like a week. While you're actually taking that breather, it's a good way to actually align yourself back to the vision, because it gets hard, right? Entrepreneurship is hard, and hard is frustrating. And frustrating leads you to actually making pretty bad decisions, right? So you need to avoid doing that. And the best way you avoid doing that is an alignment with vision. And another thing I'll think about is a diversity, right, of the strength and the depth of your team. Sometimes, yes, you're the founder. Yes, you're the person that articulates the vision. You push the mission and you make everything work. But you need to delegate. This is one of the critical problems in corporate governance and when you're running a company. You need to delegate. You need to be able to like trust. Trust is hard. There are some founders that we have here as speakers, and they can probably speak more better to you about trust. I mean, I founded the company twice in the past, and I understand what trust is. With Pointverse, which was a content marketing startup, initially before we pivoted into matching companies with content creators and content writers, there was the part of when I was the one that was actually doing the content creation, right? It was hard for me to delegate to another person because they probably won't see the vision like I do. But you need to actually allow that happen. You cannot do everything yourself. In fact, the reason why you're getting burnt out is the fact that you believe you're Superman or you're Superwoman. You can't do everything yourself. So you need to diversify that. Diversity is a very good strength. So you need to learn how to actually ease up and create a bit of trust in your team. Another thing is leadership cadence. And in that is like, basically, I feel, this speaks to my other points. You need to solidify your role more as a leader, right, and away as a founder. So there's a problem that we have in the tech ecosystem right now is everybody still walks around after maybe raising money, starting a company, and it does have that idea in their head that I'm a founder. They're still stuck and caught up in, I have an idea, it's a good idea, and the idea is growing. You need to transition to being a leader. Very good. Great idea. You started the company. That is cool. But now your team is growing. Your team doesn't need to be looking at the founder. They need to be looking at the leader. You need to start filling in the CEO shoes. So being a founder is, okay, you're just going to raise the money. You started an idea. You put out an MVP. Things went smoothly. You've done that. Now you need to now shift into you're managing a team. You are trying to lead. You're setting up strategy. Like, it's hard. That transition is hard. And this is somewhere that I cannot force you if I'm advising you. I think it's something that's to do with self-awareness on your end. Once you get there, trust me, you won't feel as burnt out as you feel. Because I'm pretty sure some founders here can speak to it. Because there's no clarity, right? Some people get burnt out because they don't know the clarity between being a founder and being a CEO. And I'll just like cap it off with basically continuous tuning, right? Always step back and always reevaluate yourself. There's something I mentioned in the group that I am in about the entrepreneur's ego, the founder's ego. It's a double-edged sword, right? Ego, I mean, we all know Steve Jobs famous ego, right? I mean, Bill Gates also was egotistic, but it's a double-edged sword, right? It can push you far. It makes you push other people too, but also sometimes you need to step back and reevaluate yourself, which goes back to the initial point I started with in the beginning. Step back, understand the vision, where it is you're going. Like, you need to realign yourself with why you started the company in the first place. And that will actually help you in setting aside your ego. And some people might not like it, but I always tell some of the founders back then in your portfolio, like, your ego is the reason why you're tired. Because if you feel, I can do everything, I must be the one that must do this, I'm smarter than this person or whatever. But nah, like, put your ego aside, remove it from the equation, and it makes you more better, more efficient. And it also helps reduce the burnout, in my opinion. So yeah, I hope this was... I try to squeeze as much information as possible, but I hope this actually... Yeah.
Definitely. I think you've raised some really, really great points, Fola, because I think delegation is key, and that's one question that I have. But I want to get the other speaker's thoughts on just, like, building the right team. So, Chibeke, you can go. Then Michael and Emmanuel, if you have anything to add, you can chip in. And then I'll just ask the final question before we have to close out. And then if you have a question, I see a few people requesting. So if you have a question, just use the raised hand icon so we know that it's a question. You can also type in the Twitter Spaces chat so that we can know and we can try to take that before this, we kind of close out. So Chibeke, do you want to touch on finding the right team and how important it is to scale and then also to prevent burnout? I think Fola touched a lot of good points, but I know you'll probably have some things to add.
Yes, yeah. The Fola, you've spoken it very well. It's like a business school lesson that you just dropped. If I advise any founder in this place, you see those words, you need to hold them very well. In scaling, it takes a different mindset, a different skill set, a different team composition entirely. Because when you start a company, you have you and your small team doing everything. Now you have people who are generalists. You want to get something done, they get it done. You have people who are going to work 36 hours a day just to get something done. You now start having a different thing entirely. You realize that those skill sets are not the same that it takes. You start becoming a corporate organization, start becoming a structured organization. You go by policies, you go by models, you go by ethics. It's totally different skill set, different mindset. And oftentimes, this is a hard one. Oftentimes, it takes a different team that will do that. So let's take, for example, Andela. You'd see there have been changes and changes and changes. And I was talking with one of the CEOs at the point. He said they had to bring in somebody at a point where the business needed is going to set policy and procedures. That's where what scaling is about. It is no longer the founder doing himself. And sometimes it may not even be the founder may not have all the skills to do that. Because you're a founder, you're a generalist. You understand, you probably come from a technical background, or you probably come from a financing background. So you have all the skills it takes to do everything in the business. But one thing you may lack is personality. One thing you may lack is communication or ability to recreate yourself in people. And then you now realize that this business is becoming too difficult for you. And like last speaker said, you need to accept certain things that, hey, I am delegating this thing to this person. He may not necessarily do it as much as I want, but I have unquestionable KPIs that I want out of this thing. So the person should go ahead and do it. Now, how you get the right team that will do that becomes totally different. It becomes totally challenging. It becomes totally transforming for this. And if you eventually do it well, then the business becomes successful. But if you don't do it, but you think you have skill, but you have high turnover of people, you have high turnover of staff, or you have a burnout, even you are under, you just get frustrated. But your frustration is coming because maybe you are too passionate about it. At the point where your business is scaling, you take emotions out of it. It's your child, it's your baby, but you have to separate yourself a little bit from the business and then allow the right team to run it. And then but one thing I'll say here before I conclude is that when you are selecting the team that runs your scaled business, don't use the same criteria you used when selecting the team that run the startup. The team that runs scaled business are professionals. They've had experience doing similar things in other businesses. They may not have worked for startups, but it's going to take you more money to hire them, to pay them, and to retain them. In fact, when you're scaling, you may even find out that your head of marketing will be earning more than the founder. And it's a reality you have to tell yourself that if I need to hire this guy who has driven growth for this business across Middle East and Africa, and the guy says he wants 2x of my salary, you have to give it to him because he wants to scale. That is hiring. And at that point, you may even not be directly involved in hiring, but it has to be strategic, purposeful, and structured. And that's where that challenge you have to cross comes in. I don't know if they answered their question.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Ibeke. And some more great points. And I do hope my founders on this call are like listening, taking notes copiously. I think Ibeke said it at first, like this is almost like a massacre. These are the things that many people don't emphasize on, that needs to be emphasized on. And we won't be seeing some of the backbones we are seeing in the startup community right now. Okay. So thank you so much, Ibeke. So I'm Emmanuel, just keeping their thoughts on the right team and all of that. And then I see Solomon. So we're going to get you up to, I guess you have a question, so we'll get you up shortly. But Michael, Emmanuel, do you have any points you want to add to the hiring the right team and delegation and how that helps with scaling and avoiding burnout?
Oh, great. Thank you very much. So Ola and Chibike have done an excellent job in how to actually put a team together to scale a company. But there's this aspect I want to also add, which is about loyalty, right? So like Ola and Chibike have established, when the company begins to scale, you as the founder stop doing everything. So you now step back and begin to offer strategic guidance, strategic support to allow them do their job, right? But it's not everybody you can be able to, you know, delegate and do, you know, step back completely like that. So you have to ensure that the person is, first of all, loyal, because at a point you'll be involved in a lot of things like investor relations and all of that. So you need somebody that can take complete ownership of the business and even do it better than you would do. Right? This is the kind of personality you need. And of course, you also need a team that is very, very knowledgeable in different aspects of business. So when you are scaling, you will need people that are skilled in marketing, people that are skilled in finance, in product development, in strategy. You need to ensure that all of these guys are people that are capable to deliver and exceed expectations before you allow them to take on that. And the other point I would like to add is the importance of continually reinforcing the vision, because it is you that started the company. You know exactly the problem you wanted to solve. And if there is a disalignment in that vision, you will not get to where you want to go. So it's important that even while you are scaling, you are continually reinforcing the vision that, look, This is what we set out to do. So everything we must do must be in line with achieving these goals. This is how you can be able to scale. And of course, that takes me to culture, right? There has to be a culture that is laid down. So when Emmanuel Sika started, he said, move fast and break things. Of course, that was what Facebook said. But as Facebook began to grow, they discovered that breaking things led to a lot of, you know, fines, and the reputation of the company became endangered, right? So they began to say, okay, we know you have to move fast, right? But ensure that you do not break things. So what am I trying to say here? Let there be a culture that is set aside to guide the company, so that everybody can now align with this culture. So for instance, in Capital Africa, no matter how good you are, if you are not collaborative, if you are not relational, you will not last in our team. We will send you packing. We would send you packing, right? So it has to be a culture that is very, very developed and institutionalized in the entire company, such that everyone is very, very aware and involved in promoting this culture. It will start when you are small, right? Maybe 2-3 members, but it has to be written down. It has to be, you know, documented, such that as you're scaling, everybody can be in line with that culture. Because when the culture is not there to lead the scale, of course, you know what that will lead to, right? So in summary, I'm just saying that to scale, you need people that are loyal, and of course, you need people that are experienced in diverse aspects of business. You need a strong culture, and of course, you need to ensure that everyone aligns. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Michael. I think you dropped some really good points. It's not just about the skill level. Also, those soft skills and all of that, I think that's very important. And I love that you touched on that. Emmanuel, and then so, okay. Yeah. Emmanuel, do you have anything you want to add?
Okay. My question is this. Can a team of two take a startup product market fit where you have just one developer and a founder that have a basic knowledge of marketing and sales? Can just two members of the team take a startup to product market fit?
All right, thanks for your question, Solomon. I didn't even realize it was you speaking. All right, cool. Great question. Can two people take a startup to product market fit? What are any of the speakers going to take a shot? Emmanuel, Michael, Fola? Anybody wants to? Okay.
Let me go.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so your question is very dicey. Let me say it is possible, it is not possible, and I'll tell you why. Let me start with why it is possible. So when you're starting a company, right, you must be willing to get your hands dirty, right? You must be able to roll your sleeves and walk. So how do you do that? You and your partner, you have to sit together and have very honest conversations, right? So you enumerate all of the roles that is critical to getting your startup to product market fit. You enumerate marketing, sales, product development, UI, UX design, product management, and all of that, social media management and all. Finance, then you allocate them. So one person might end up taking about 7, 8, 9, 10 roles, right? So you accept that this is what is going to be done. And of course, you hold each other accountable to do that. Now, historically, there is an evidence that that has been done. So if you look at Michael Siebel, the former CEO of Y Combinator, he sold his company by name Twitch for several millions of dollars. And they were just 2 or 3 working on the business. They didn't hire employees, right? That shows that it can be done. Then let me also say why it is not possible in terms of taking into product market fit. So in our climes or in the business world generally, when your company begins to grow, because it takes growth for you to know that you are at the point of product market fit, right? You have to grow. You have to expand. You have to acquire more users. So when you start growing, what you would do is that you attract competition.
And when competition comes, right, of course, you know, in startups, there is always the issue of fundraising. And that's why the scaling we are discussing today is very important. When you're scaling, it's attractive to investors, and you can be able to do what to raise funds. So as other competitors come into the market, they can easily do what? Easily raise funds, and of course, get to product market fit and innovate the entire idea that you had, such that before you even get to the product market fit for your own particular startup, right, you have a market leader already. So on that grounds, I would say that it is not possible. But on the grounds of getting ready to work and, of course, getting your hands dirty, it's possible. But at the same time, given that we are talking about burnout tonight, I wouldn't advise that you and your co-founder want to take a product to a product market fit before you hire team members. So I want to say that as much as possible, try to get people involved, right? We know that one of the things people consider when they want to hire is about funds. But of course, if you can really sell your idea, I can assure you from my own experience now, you can be able to attract talent that are willing to work for you even without you paying them. So it's about you being very sure and very, very clear about your idea and the potentials. So it's not just about the idea, there must be potential. And of course, the idea must make business sense. It must have a very, very big market. And of course, the potential must be attractive for you to be able to get people. So I would say, I would advise that you try to get people, but that is at the point that you're sure that this idea is an idea that, of course, customers will buy into. That's where market research comes in, right? So once you've done your market research and you're sure that this idea is something that people will buy into, and then you begin to get the initial traction, I would say without waiting for product market fit, get team members. So that's what I would say, because we're trying to talk about burnout here. Because when you try to take 6, 7, 8 roles, you will burn out. And when you burn out, you may not even be able to get to that product market fit. Thank you very much. I don't know if I was able to really answer that. I just read to say it the way that you really get it.
I mean, Michael like made a very good point, but just so that, like, I don't know if Solomon gets it, because there's usually a problem with, you know, understanding what product market fit is. This is the thing, right? Just so that we're clear and Solomon actually understands this. Solomon, you understand that product market fit means, you know, it's the point at which your product fulfills a real need in the market, right? So means that your product or your service actually satisfies your customers, and your customers are interested in it, not just only interested in it, they're using it and they are satisfied with it, right? You don't need necessarily to have like 1,000 customers and whatever. So your question sounded like as if, I'm just assuming, you can correct me if I'm wrong, like you are trying to get to MVP stage, or at least get your MVP to start being used by customers. So maybe like the framing that you probably want is to move away from trying to reach product market fits, like as rightly as, you know, Michael said, and actually focus on probably like making sure you have an MVP out. If you have an MVP out, then ignore everything I said and just stick to what Michael said. But I'm just trying to be sure, right? Because in the ecosystem, from my understanding, people have a very serious problem with the understanding of what product market fit is. And it changes every year. I mean, you talk to a VC this year, it changes for them. It changes with me. I could tell you something probably totally different. I mean, the next, you know, funding cycle that comes probably in 2024, like, we look at different things. So I just want to be sure that Solomon is talking about what I actually described as what product market fit is. So yeah, I mean, that's it.
All right, thanks so much. Okay, so I'm letting Solomon back on to just clarify, but we are
let me add to that. Okay. Let me add to that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so it depends on the type of business that you're building. If it's a business that requires input to scale, as much as it's not possible, though. Because let's say you have a business that requires customer service or customer support,
and you say two people are going to do that, you definitely burn out. You won't even reach that. Because as you scale, scaling would have been a fantastic product, fantastic thing. But when people start, customers start making, needing support, and definitely two people cannot do it, you start getting negative feedback. And that negative feedback will be counterproductive and kill all the successes you have made. But if it is a service that requires minimal support, let's take, for example, WhatsApp. How many of us here has ever contacted WhatsApp support? Very few. Or do you even know that WhatsApp has a support? So if you build a product like that, that people just plug in, use it, and the use case is simple, straightforward, and basic, minimal use case, then you can scale. In fact, the guys that founded WhatsApp, they didn't even have a lot of team members, and they became, they really scaled it. It got across the globe, right? I think the same thing was also for a business like Truecaller. You see those things, how many times did you contact me? So they're doing payment, or you're doing business in Nigeria, and you require people, and people are going to get frictions, and people are going to get dissatisfied, or people are going to misunderstand or misconceive your product, and you think you get the product market fit without really two people. I wish you the best, but it's not possible.
All right. Thank you so much, Ibeke. I think those were some great points. And Emmanuel, do you have any last words? I know you had a problem like with your... you went to the listener speaker. Do you have any last words before we kind of wrap up?
So I love the question which was just asked. So one thing you should know is it took WhatsApp, so they started for around, I think, 21 or 27 billion, or was it 19? And then they were made up of a team of just 10 persons. Just 10 persons. So that shows that you can grow lean as a startup and anything is achievable as much as you can automate things, because one core responsibility of yourself as a founder is to fire yourself from as many tasks as possible and try to automate as many tasks as possible. If you can automate everything, then even two people can take it to PMF, going to million of dollars, going to billion of dollars, because companies have done that in the past. But if that is not possible, then you might have to hire at some point. But then, even as the last speaker said, getting an MVP just two is enough for you to have an MVP and then validate the product, even growing up to $1 million. For example, Pluxible Analytics. Pluxible Analytics grew to $1 million in annual recurring revenue. That is $83,300 monthly. So anything is possible. The goal is just, as a founder, try as much as possible to automate things and fire yourself from as many as possible. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Emmanuel. Thank you very much. All right. Great, great. So I really appreciate this session. This was really enlightening. And Solomon, thank you for your question. So just to wrap it up, I think it was a really great session. And like I said, enlightening. And I really appreciate the speakers for coming on today, for accepting our invitation, Chibike, Emmanuel, Fola, and Michael. So this session, I'm going to inform the speakers and everyone here once we upload the session to our launch pad so that we can go on and listen. Everyone will listen over it again. But yes, it was a really great session. Thank you very much. And have a nice evening, everyone, or a nice afternoon, depending on where you are. Thank you very much, everyone. And bye.
Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. If you found value in today's episode, you can find more at gotlaunchpad.com. Stay inspired, stay innovative, and keep building those dreams. Until next time, bye.